All right. Mark chapter 5, we will look at a day in the life of the Master. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, now listen to this, a man with an unclean spirit, one. Now we won't turn there, but the Apostle Paul explained that in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. If we had time, we'd go through all of those, but I don't. This was a ruler of the darkness, this one devil. Now, there were a lot of principalities and powers involved in this, and we'll see that. Now, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately met him in the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters or shackles and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So he's a cutter. So many of our young children, young teenagers, get into a state where they begin to cut themselves. Now, Dean Sykes, he ministers to thousands and thousands and thousands of teenagers in Christian schools and public schools. And you'd be surprised how many suicides have been stopped in there. One young man, after they walked out of the building, he just walked over there and handed him a 12-gauge shotgun shell. And he said, "Well, what is this?" He said, "Well, after chapel, I was going to go use it, but I don't need it anymore." He said, "I signed your card. My life matters." And people there with their arms all messed up because they were cutters. One young man, a very close friend of ours in close ministry, and some women that he had led to the Lord, and when he baptized them, they had cutter marks and traces where they had shot up. And when they came up out of the water, the cut marks were gone, and so the needle marks were gone. Folks, I'm telling you, we're here. We're in an outpouring that is just absolutely magnificent, and our time has come. Always, day and night. So everybody around there knew he was supernatural because he never slept. Can you imagine what he looked like? Can you imagine what a skin and bones, but that devil had come on him? And I mean, it's Samson in reverse. What the Spirit of God was doing in Samson, this demon spirit was doing in this man. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That devil couldn't stop him. He cried with a loud voice. Now, what had happened? Jesus had said, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he cried with a loud voice. Now, I'm going to attempt to do this in the same kind of voice that I had speak to me more than once, but one in particular that an experience I'll share with you.
"What is thou to do with thee, Jesus, Son of Most High God? I adjure thee by God, you torment me not."
Now he's on his face. What is thy name? He answered,
my name is Legion, for we are many.
That's 3,000 to 6,000 devils. That's the principalities and powers. They were all working for the boss devil. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of that country. Satan had assigned him there. Can you imagine what for? Anything he can to tear up anything that has to do with Jerusalem, anything that has to do with this man that's gone wild over here. And God told him in the Garden of Eden, there's coming one that's going to put his heel on your head. And every prophet he could kill thinking this might be the one. But now he knows this one is the one because he met him in the desert and he tried him 3 different ways and it didn't work. But if I can do anything to mess up his life, anything to mess up this whole territory around here, I hate this place. I hate this Jerusalem. I'll work on all these other people. I'll work on Ishmael's half. Trying to tear up the ministry of Jesus. Yeah, I don't want to leave that country. And then there were there nigh the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. Well, now, the people didn't hear that. They heard this other conversation. The people didn't hear that. Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now, any spirit, I don't care if it's a devil, an angel, the spirit of God, any spirit being needs a vessel with which to have full expression in a natural world. They can cause some trouble in the spirit, but they need a body, preferably a human body, to use in behalf of darkness. And this devil just lost his. And then all the rest of the devils, they all work for him. He's gone. And then they 3,000 to 6,000 of them, we need something. Let us go in those hogs. Jesus said, well, all right. Now, this caused a lot of trouble. That approximately 2,000 hogs. Now, I cannot imagine what 2,000 pigs sound like because I've just been around the ones that my grandfather used to have. Nasty, filthy, and loud. 2,000 of them? It must have been a horrible thing. But that was food for the Roman army. It scared everybody in sight. What are we going to do now? And they want him to just get out of here. Now, I want to read you something. You don't need to turn there. I'm just turning over to the book of James. Well, you can if you want to. In the second chapter of James, I'm looking at the 14th verse. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and has not works? Now, in the Weymouth translation, has faith and has not corresponding action. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not corresponding action, is dead being alone. Down to 18th verse. If a man say, thou hast faith, I have a corresponding action, show me your faith without your corresponding action, I will show you my faith by my corresponding action. Now, let me remind you of something, and you can see what I'm talking about. In Jesus' home, the Bible said he was in the house, and it was full. I used to think that was a hostile crowd, but they were not. They came to his house, not a synagogue, to hear him. And somebody started breaking the roof up. And the Bible said he saw their faith. He saw it. It was faith in action. Anybody believing God enough to tear the top off my house is going to get something. Amen. That was action. You could see the faith. Now I want you to notice this. Now you come down. Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the hogs, and they went violently down a steep place into the sea, and about 2,000 were choked or they drowned. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. When they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with devils and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to get it, go on, get out of here. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but he saith unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis the 10 surrounding cities the great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Here's a naked man called to preach. Where did he get the clothes? Oh, glory be to God. Corresponding action in advance. Jesus must have said, all right, we're going over across the lake, and there's a demon-possessed man over there, and my father has called him to preach. All I need to do is just get the devil out of him, and you know, that's easy. But he's naked, and he's going to go home to his friends. And I'm not going to send him home naked. Come on, are you kidding me? I called this man to preach. I want him looking good. I want him cleaned up. Glory to God. Amen. He needs some clothes, some nice clothes. He's going to be preaching the compassion of God, and he's going to look good while he's doing it. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. He departed and began to preach. Then Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side. They're across the Galilee now, going into Capernaum. And as he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Now, this is the synagogue right there, if you'll study it all out, in Capernaum. It's the synagogue that Cornelius built. Cornelius was the centurion of that area. He built this synagogue. This is the same synagogue where this same centurion, his servant was sick unto death, and he said, I'm a man under authority. I tell a man to go, he goes, come, and he comes, do this, and he does it. Oh, you don't need to do anything. I'm not important enough for you to come under my roof. Just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Why? Because he took the word only as evidence. He didn't need hands. He didn't need anything else. You just say it. Now you know why he said at the crucifixion, he must be the Son of God. And now he can't get it out of his mind. So he prayed. He kept praying and praying, and an angel came to him. Angels can't preach the gospel. Now, there's coming a time right at the tail end of this thing, they will. But they said, no. And there's a man named Peter, and he's at the Tanner's house. And so send somebody over there to get him. He'll come. And that opened the door for the Gentile church. Amen. So all of that is connected together. So now here we go. This is all in one day now. Amen. Jairus by name, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and besought him, on his face, now right in the edge of that water, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. One says he touched the hem of his garment. Now think about this. Jesus is a rabbi. He is dressed as a rabbi. Now, the hem of that garment had a blue border around it. And everybody knew what the blue border stood for a rabbi. It stood for the anointing. And he had his shawl on, and that came out from under his top garment all the way down, right at his feet. So think about her. Now she's skin and bones. She heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood dried up, and then she felt in her body that it was dried up. But she believed it. Now, Jairus is standing there all this time. How do we know it was 12 years? Well, you'll see here in a minute. She told it. Now, listen. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, now, that in Greek was dunamis, power, dynamin. We get our word dynamite from it. Explosive, self-energizing power. Glory to God. Had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging, then saith thou who touched me. He looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. That's how we know it was 12 years. That's how we know there was many physicians. Who knows how many physicians? So they stood there a while, and Jairus never said a word. He'd already spoken his faith. You come, lay hand on her, she'll live. Now I want you to notice something. Jesus didn't even answer him. He just went with him. So faith put him on the road. And faith stopped him. Now this is just a man anointed by the Spirit of God. So when Jairus said what he did, when you really study it out, this is the synagogue, this is the home synagogue in Capernaum where he preached. So he and Jairus knew one another well. And there's another way to tell, when you look at one of the other accounts, he left out to go home and some blind men followed him into his own house. So this is a very charged area. Lot going on here. Lot changing things. Now, look at this. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down. Why was she fearing and trembling? Because if you will look this up in the book of Leviticus, you will find a woman that goes so long after the natural time of an issue of blood and it continues, she's unclean. She's been unclean for 12 years in that house, can't get out. And there's the leader of the synagogue. He has the right and authority to have her stoned. Her whole idea was she had heard somebody came in there, and you know what he's preaching? He's preaching that he's anointed to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the sick. Now she's broke financially. But she just kept saying it. If I just touch his garment, I will be whole. Amen. Amen. So now, we're not done yet. The straight way, the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus said, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, 33rd verse, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter." Now, hey, daughter. Jairus is talking daughter here. Daughter. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. And she heard about it, and faith came, and she crawled out there at the risk of her own life and touched that garment. She fully intended to crawl back and get well and get up and get her clothes to fit her, and she'd come out. Then she'd go to the priest and say, "Look at me." But it didn't work. But faith just touched it through that cloth. And it just drew that power out of him. And it will do it today. And I learned from Brother Hagin, I've been redeemed from the curse of death. And a little before Christmas of the next year, we were debt free.
Join us for the Omaha Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle, October 27th through the 29th. Register today at kcm.org/omaha.
Prepare for your future in life and in ministry at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Learn the life and spiritual skills you need to develop faith, integrity, and excellence in every aspect of your life. Be intensely discipled alongside other like-minded believers and grow your community. Apply yourself practically to ministry through class electives designed to develop your gifts Internships and mentoring opportunities provide you with a strong foundation for ministry or to continue your education. Get equipped for your calling, enter into your mission field confidently, and teach others to do the same. Graduate as an available voice to carry the legacy of faith into your life and ministry.
You're a voice of victory wherever you go. You are His representative in the earth, and you are authorized to use His name.
To find out more, go to kcbiblecollege.org. Apply today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Every Friday is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. All week, Brother Copeland has taught us the word about faith being our connection to the blessing of the Lord. Psalms 119, 130 explains, "The entrance of your word gives light." We've learned how faith believes and trusts God, how faith speaks the desired end result, and how to walk in faith and love. I want to give you an opportunity to sow into the word you heard this week. I'll read from Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap." I want to say thank you, partners, for your faithful giving and sowing. Together with you and Jesus, we have been able to send the gospel around the world for 55 years. In 1976, the word of the Lord came to Brother Copeland to preach this uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. Let me pray over your offering. Father in heaven, we're so thankful today for our partners and friends, for the family of faith. I thank you for the double portion of your blessing that makes them rich and adds no sorrow with it, in Jesus' name. Now, if you missed any of the broadcasts this week, you can watch them free at your convenience on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. Next week, join Brother Copeland for a healing special on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609, go online to kcm.org/giveonline, or call 877-615-4267. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.